Once the detainees have been processed into the internment camp, the manual explains how they will be indoctrinated with a particular focus on targeting political dissidents into expressing support for U.S. policies. The re-education process is the responsibility of the psychological operations officer, whose job it is to design PSYOP products that are designed to pacify and acclimate detainees to accept U.S. authority, regulations, and policies. Then he quotes a document. He says the manual lists the following roles that are designed to these PSYOP people, this team. He says, well, identify malcontents, trained agitators, and political leaders within the facility who may try to organize resistance or create disturbances. Develops and executes indoctrination programs to reduce or remove antagonistic attitudes. This is meant for patriots who come against the socialist communist new order of Obama, okay? We're not talking about catching communists and Nazis and re-educating them to become good Americans. We're talking about American people who value the Constitution, who know what's going on, who are against the takeover. Those people are going to be interned and re-educated, just like it's done in every communist country. It's the same playbook over and over again. All you got to do is read the history of China, Soviet Russia, Cuba, any country that's been taken over by communists. It's the same playbook. They do the same exact thing. They take the same exact steps every time, and it's been happening in America step by step. Why didn't people see it for the last 70 years? God blinded them. That's the only answer I can have. Anyway, it says it provides loudspeaker support, such as administrative announcements and facility instructions when necessary, helps the military police commander control detainees and populations during emergencies, plans and executes a PSYOP program that produces an understanding and appreciation of U.S. policies and actions. In other words, they're acclimating you and programming you to appreciate communism. The guy goes on to say, remember, this is not restricted to insurgents in Iraq who are detained in prison camps. The manual makes it clear that the policies also apply within U.S. territory under the auspices of the DHS and FEMA. The documents add that resettlement operations may require large groups of civilians to be quartered temporarily, less than 6 months, or semi-permanently, more than 6 months. The historical significance of states using internment camps to re-educate detainees centers around the fact that this is almost exclusively practiced by repressive and dictatorial regimes like the former Soviet Union and Stalinist regimes like the modern-day North Korea. We have exhaustively documented preparations for the mass internment of citizens inside America, but this is the first time that language concerning the re-education of detainees, in particular political activists, has cropped up in our research. Under the indefinite detention provision of the National Defense Authorization Act, which was signed by Barack Obama New Year's Eve, American citizens can be kidnapped and detained indefinitely without trial. And then he has the appropriate portions of this document copied and highlighted. I'll read a couple more to you right here. This guy's asking the question, is civil war coming? This guy says, for anyone who has done even a cursory study of Barack Obama's life, they know that his radical Marxist views are not a recent phenomenon. During his New York years, he was a frequent participant in the annual Socialist Scholars Conference held in Manhattan. In the 1990s, he was affiliated with the Marxist New Party. He called for an outright ban on guns in 1996. This guy says through the 1990s and 2000s, he'd funneled millions of dollars to socialist front groups like ACORN. His buddy, domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, helped stuff the money in the pockets of these public welfare groups, often taking money from wealthy donors who believed the funds were being used to further education or stamp out poverty. This was Barack Obama's first foray into spreading the wealth around. Their dirty little secret about Marxists is that the moral outrage they have about the poor, about gun violence, about war, and even about the environment, so-called global warming, is that these are simply tools to set up a totalitarian government, a so-called utopia where from each according to his ability to each according to his needs is not determined by the individual but according to the elite bureaucracy. Totalitarian governments don't work very well unless you have a dependent and defenseless rabble. Obama has successfully created a welfare state with food stamps and welfare rolls soaring, and with Obamacare, he will put virtually the entire society on the public dole. But creating a defenseless rabble is a little more difficult in America, with the majority of Americans holding the Second Amendment sacred. Well, the majority of Americans don't hold the Second Amendment as sacred. Probably only about half the country does right now. He says it was easy in Russia. In October 1918, the communist government mandated that all its citizens register their weapons. Then it conveniently confiscated all those registered weapons Kind of sounds like Obama's common sense call for universal background checks, really a Trojan horse for a national gun registry. But all this is conspiracy theory, right? America could never become like communist Russia, could it? In 2007-2008, when Obama researchers such as Stanley Kurtz and Trevor Loudon unearthed Obama's extensive radical background and warned us from the highest mountains to beware, most of us handed these guys tinfoil hats, figuring that if a Marxist did get into the office, we had a little document called the Constitution to keep him in check and or impeach him. Because of a dumbed-down public and two weak rhino Republicans, that's McCain and Romney, Obama was able to garner enough votes to gain the presidency twice. We've had a radical Marxist sitting in the Oval Office for over 4 years now. But the Constitution was still there, including the Second Amendment and the separation of powers. And the radical connections that were unearthed in 2007 and 2008 paled in comparison to what we learned in almost month-by-month basis in the following years. But the Constitution's still there, including the Second Amendment and the separation of powers. Except what if Obama administration could disarm a large portion of the population, the so-called progressives who believe that guns are evil, and the dumbed-down population who didn't know any better? And what if the only ones left who refuse to give up their guns, who demand that the Constitution be followed, and who demand that a separation of powers doctrine be upheld, what if the only ones left were conservatives? And what if Obama's administration declared conservatives domestic terrorists, as they have basically done with the so-called study hotspots of terrorism and other crimes in the United States? Those who are reverent of individual liberty, those who are suspicious of centralized federal authority, those who believe there is a grave threat to national sovereignty and or personal liberty by Obama's policies. And what if the Obama administration could outgun their conservative enemies? The Obama administration has amassed a staggering amount of bullets, over 2 billion rounds, most of it the hollow point armor-piercing variety, enough to kill every man, woman, and child in America 5 times. And what if the Obama administration successfully banned assault weapons, but was able to keep assault weapons for themselves, as they have already done, calling the use of AR-15s personal defense weapons? And what if the Obama administration could nullify the Second Amendment from the portion of the public that were the most extensively trained, who were traditionally the most conservative, that is, veterans? The Obama administration has already sent out thousands of letters to veterans saying the following, quote, "A determination of incompetency will prohibit you from purchasing, possessing, receiving, or transporting a firearm or ammunition. If you knowingly violate any of these prohibitions, you may be fined, imprisoned, or both." And what if the Obama administration was purchasing thousands of light armored tanks to be used against its own citizens? This we learned over the weekend. And what if the Obama administration ordered a fleet of public safety drones able to pick up cell phone traffic, able to identify whether the target, that is an American citizen, is armed or not, with the ability to be easily outfitted with missiles? This is something we discovered is not out of the dystopian novel, but hatched by our own government. And what if there was a secret memo that gave the Obama administration the authority to kill any U.S. citizen at any time, anywhere, without proof, without due process, and being accountable to no one? Investigative journalist Michael Iskoff uncovered this last month. So what if, unlike the communists in Russia, the Obama administration wasn't able to disarm its enemy, but were able to easily outgun them with hundreds of thousands of personal defense weapons, billions of rounds, tanks, and public safety drones? It's very evident what's happening. Nothing Obama's doing has anything to do with protecting the country against outside threats. When it comes to the outside world, he's disarming us. He's gutting the military. He's destroying the military by making them be homosexuals, except homosexuals. Everything he's doing on a national security level towards the other countries of the world, he's weakening, degrading, destroying. Everything internally towards the American people, he's building up, okay, building up his armor. You'd be blind not to see it. This is one last one I'm going to read. It says, Obama poised to carry out a hostile military takeover of the U.S. This guy says, "I've been told by a number of people that it would be impossible for any person to stage a military or hostile takeover of the United States. 10 years ago, I would have agreed with them, but not now. In the past year, President Obama has taken a number of actions that, when added together, clearly indicate his plans for a military or hostile takeover of the United States. And for the first time in my life, I not only believe it could happen, I am firmly convinced it's going to happen. To begin with, Obama has been tailoring the U.S. military to his personal agenda. He is filling the ranks with gays and lesbians who will now follow him to any extreme because he's their champion. He has all but shackled chaplains from preaching Christianity to the troops, who, by the way, aren't even allowed to have Bibles in some areas of the Middle East or any other semblance of Christianity. For the military coup de grace, he has been tailoring his top military leaders, that's the generals, by asking if they're willing to shoot Americans. Those who answer yes are put in key positions, while those who answer no are basically seeing the end of their military careers. Now you know why there's been a purge of the top generals of the United States the last year and a half. All right, he's been purging all the top generals because they're patriots, and replacing them with generals who will shoot the American people. Next, the Department of Homeland Security has been stockpiling millions of weapons and billions of rounds of ammunition. The federal government even has NOAA stockpiling weapons and ammunition. Now, what is the National Oceanic, you know, that's the Weather Channel. That's the, not the Weather Channel, but that's the weather people. Why is NOAA stockpiling weapons and ammunition? See, what they do is they have every federal agency, I mean, Social Security, not just Homeland Security, and all these ones that are sinister and people are always watching. Social Security, Department of Social Security, NOAA, all these federal agencies have no business even having weapons. They've been using them to purchase billions and billions of the worst bullet possible. They go through armor, they go through walls, they go through anything. There's no other reason to stock up all this stuff and use all these agencies except to for internal use. It's all for internal use. I tell you, there ain't enough terrorists in the United States to take all those bullets. They ain't planning on shooting real terrorists, believe me. So the federal government has even NOAA stockpiling weapons and ammunition, and they aren't going to be used to predict the weather. This is unprecedented in American history and has no purpose or basis other than to use against the American people. The massive push for gun control has only one purpose, and that is to disarm the American people. There are more guns in private ownership than there are people in the United States. Now, the only problem with that is there's more guns, but that's because people have multiple guns. And the percentage of people that have multiple guns is a minority. It's not like everybody in the United States has a gun and is willing to use it. There's that many guns in the United States because people are buying multiple weapons or stocking up. But anyway, he says that would make a hostile takeover more difficult and costly and time-consuming. However, the stockpiles of weapons and ammunition are just for that purpose, because Obama knows that there are a lot of Americans who will not give up their guns so easily. Attorney General Eric Holder has already warned gun owners to cower like smokers. Okay, so first, it's the intimidation stage. They try to get you to comply by just intimidating you. Then they actually pass laws, then they enforce it, and then they start murdering you. He says one of the problems with guns in the hands of people is that the government doesn't know where they all are. That's why they're pushing for a complete gun registration and background checks for everyone who owns a firearm, regardless of any grandfather clauses. Under Obamacare, they are also pushing doctors and medical staffers to gather information on their patients as to whether or not they own a gun. I just saw a report the other day. Some guy was bragging how he confused a nurse so bad she just dropped the subject. He went to a local doctor, like a family clinic like we have in Mifflintown here. It was a new doctor who was just graduated. She's Obamatron. She asked him the basic questions, you know, about your medical history. And she says, do you have any guns in the house? He came up with this crazy number. Instead of like AK-47, he made it up, but he made it sound like a gun. He said, oh, yeah, I have four of these. And she said, what? You know, he went back and forth this conversation. He totally confused her. And then she finally said, no, do you have any something else? She named a name, not a shotgun, but she named a name of a gun, a proper name of a gun. He said, what's that? So he confused his girl, so she just dropped it. So now he's got doctors. Before they'll medicate you, they want to know if you have any guns in your house. I mean, these guys are serious. They are serious, and they plan on murdering millions of Americans, believe me. Under the National Defense Authorization Act, the federal government has the legal right to indefinitely detain anyone they deem to be dangerous to the country. They do not have to produce any evidence. They do not have to obtain a warrant. They do not have to give you the right to an attorney. All Obama or Eric Holder have to do is say you are a threat, and that could be the last anyone sees of you. Obama has also issued an executive order that gives him absolute power and control over all means of communication for any reason, including an emergency. The executive order includes all television, radio, cable, internet, and cell phone. Lastly, Obama has already placed drones in the skies of America. His chief puppet, Eric Holder, has ruled that not only are the drones legal, but that Obama has the legal right to use them to shoot Americans on American soil. When you put all this together in one package, it's obvious that the stage is set for Barack Hussein Obama to use force in a hostile takeover of the United States. All he has to do is declare a state of emergency, most likely prompted by the coming economic collapse. This will allow him to control all forms of communication. Both military and DHS-trained personnel will then start rounding up everyone that has or still opposes Obama and detain them under the National Defense Authorization Act. Those that resist will face lethal force from the drones and or the heavily armed military and DHS troops. Anyone resisting will be shot. If Obama fears a threat from another nation, he will not be slashing in military spending, cutting our nuclear arsenal down to a third of what it was. Everything Obama has been doing and putting into place is pointing inside the United States, not outside. We are his target, not Iran, not Syria, China, or North Korea. If you don't believe this will happen prior to 2016, then please explain to me the purpose of all these things that have been strategically placed at this time. This is just a little list. They're strategically placing water. They're strategically placing different kinds of arms and ammunitions, all the country. They're pre-posted, pre-placed. They're ready. He says, I also suggest you do a little study of history. Look at nations like Germany, Russia, and China, and other socialist nations. They all thought it could never happen to them, and it did. And it all started with a tyrant, just like Obama, gaining power and outlawing guns. Like I said, we don't have guns, so I'm not ranting on this because I want my gun. We're looking to the Lord for our protection. But it's certainly all right as American citizens to have guns, Christian or not. And if the only way you can overcome a nation and make slaves of those people is to take away their arms so they can't defend themselves. That's exactly what's going on. So, judgment's on its way. America deserves it. The people deserve it because they've chosen to ignore God, ignore his secular witnesses, ignore his prophets, his preachers for all these years. Okay, the question we're only asking now here is, what kind of judgment's coming? Is America going to be nuked by North Korea or Iran or China or, you know, Russia or somebody's going to be nuked and totally destroyed? Is America going to be invaded and just conquered by other people like China? Or will America just internally collapse and become another communist police state? If it becomes a communist police state, hundreds of thousands of mostly patriotic Americans are going to perish. They're going to die. Hundreds of thousands of people. There's a Holocaust coming on this nation, and it might be just around the corner. Because a lot of people are saying an economic collapse, which everybody knows is coming. It's their plan to destroy the dollar. I just don't know when they plan to do it. But still, it's coming. And a lot of people say it could be coming next month. Next month, we could be into this. I mean, it's right around the corner, whether it's a couple months or a year or two. If the country becomes a police state, like I said, hundreds of thousands of people are going to die. They're going to die. And tens of thousands more who aren't actually fighting the government with guns, who have talked against the government, who disagree with the government, who aren't enthusiastically saying, Hail Obama. They're going to be put in internment camps. They're going to be put in jail and re-educated or killed. This is what these people plan for us. This is what your politicians, the congressmen and senators, a lot of them, most of them, are planning for us. They know it's coming down. They are part of the program. They want it to happen. They're communists. They're traitors. They should all go out and be shot. So I believe there will be a civil war eventually, whether patriots start it or whether the government starts it with a false flag or just starts it very quietly. It doesn't matter. There is going to be a civil war in this country, I believe. But I don't believe it's going to go very far. I believe it's going to be crushed very quickly for three reasons. Because one, the patriots and the people who are going to be fighting that civil war, they're heavily outgunned. And each month goes by, they're going to be more heavily outgunned because bullets are drying up and all these guns are being outlawed. And it's going to be pretty soon you're going to be having all these patriots face government with just simple shotguns. They're going to be faced with multiple machine guns and all kinds of automatic weapons and tanks and all kinds of stuff. So the patriots, when they do rise up or they do start fighting, whether attacked or they begin the revolution themselves, they're going to be outgunned. So it's not going to last very long. The second reason is because the ones who want to save the country, they're fighting for the wrong kind of liberty. Can't be blessed by God. They're fighting for the kind of liberty, like I said, that lets you free to do anything you want, even worship Satan. So there's no way it can win because God wouldn't bless them. They're fighting for the wrong kind of liberty. They're fighting for evil liberty, libertarianism. Not for the liberty to serve God. The third reason the revolution, which I believe is coming, is going to fail quickly, maybe overnight, is because it's God's timetable. We're right at the end of the age. We're now going from the age of grace into the day of wrath, and then we'll go from the day of wrath into the kingdom, and there's no way America is going to be a righteous nation and survive all that. It has to go down. It's going to go down. The only question is it going to be totally destroyed? Will it be overcome? We'll have Chinese people living here and not Americans. Or we'll just become implode like it's going now. Keep imploding till there's a little uprising, get snuffed out, and it's a communist state. But either way, I'm telling you, there's a Holocaust coming to America. There's a Holocaust coming to this nation. And Christians are going to be one of the targets. If you stand for righteousness, you cannot stand for Obama, anything Obama does. You have to stand against everything he is, everything he represents and everything he's doing. If you are a true Christian, you have to be against Obama. And if you're not against Obama, you're not a Christian. I don't care what color you are. If you're not against Obama and his policy, what he stands for, everything he stands for, you are not a Christian. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care if you got a pastor's degree, if you're a theologian. You cannot be a Christian and support anything Obama's doing. That guy is antichrist to the core. So the Christians are going to be on the list too. Not because they have guns, but because they're political enemies of Obama. A Holocaust is coming, and it might be right around the corner, my friends. I'm not trying to be alarmist, okay? But there is a Holocaust coming down. And like I said last week, we need to be in the ark. And we need to be ready to do whatever God tells us to. Some of us might die. It might be God's will we die, you know? If you read that chapter 11, is it chapter 11 of Hebrews? The people of faith? It goes through there, and a lot of those people died. All right? They died to get a better resurrection. Some lived. And they turned the battle to gain. They become warriors, and they gained victory for the kingdom. They didn't die. I don't know what my destiny is. I don't know what your destiny is. But I don't want to die if it's not God's will I die. I don't want to be outside the ark and get put in a concentration camp because I'm not following God right. If it's God's will that I'm put in a concentration camp, then I'll go there and try to be a witness. God may use me there. We got to be prepared to do whatever God wants. It's not just to survive. We're not just trying to survive at all means here. But if God wants us to survive, to do something for him, do some kind of ministry for him, or some kind of testimony or witness for him, then you got to be in the ark. And in order to be in the ark, you got to be serving God fully. All right? No games. And if God's will we die, then it's God's will we die. Nothing you can do is going to change it. You're going to die. I don't know what's coming down, but I know it's bad. And I know millions of Americans are going to perish. And it's coming very soon. I'm convinced of that. And don't trust in a second American Revolution to stop it or turn it around. This government is ready to go into action overnight. They are ready to take over this country. When the poop hits the fan, you're going to have about 2 hours to get your stuff together and do whatever you're going to do, because that's how fast you're going to come down on people. There's no way a second revolution is going to save the country. It's going to happen, I believe, but it's not going to be anything to help the country, all right? We're sitting back here watching the government of the United States being turned into a socialist, communist state right before our eyes. And soon, there's going to be a Holocaust of Americans. Don't make any great plans about your retirement or where you're going to go on vacation next year, what kind of houses you're going to buy 6 months from now, because in 2 months, we could all be in internment camps. It's that close, and it's that serious. And if it doesn't happen, it's only because God is forestalling it for some reason. Everything is in place. Everything is in place. And this government is ready to destroy its own citizens. They hate you and me. That woman hates us. Obama hates us. The only people they want alive are drones that are brainwashed and will follow them anywhere they go and do whatever they say. It's the only kind of people they want on this planet. They want everybody else dead. But God's in heaven, and he has a will for each one of our lives. We got to find it. Amen? Okay. I think somebody here had something to share.
They're trying to get it right now.
Okay, they're going to go upstairs here. Hang on a sec. Oh, is this mom? I don't know who this is, but go ahead, try it.
Okay, Dan, I'm going to go ahead and lock the mic, okay? Because I'm going to carry this computer to mom. Hold on.
Hi, everyone. How good it is to be able to sit here and say that. I just wanted off the top of my head tonight, praise and give glory to God. He's been so good to me. And when that song was playing before the pal talk, in his name there is ointment poured forth. And I can tell you, in his name there is ointment poured forth. Healing ointment. Every kind of ointment. And you know, I was in the hospital, and I can truly say that all the nurses and doctors were so kind to me. And I know that they did everything they possibly could to help me. And I really appreciate it. But it's only that ointment that's poured forth in the name of Jesus that can really heal. Mm. And, you know, last Thursday, I took a turning point. And before that, I didn't even know if I was going to get healed. But last Thursday, there was a turning point, and something happened. And I knew from Thursday on that I was going to get healed and start getting stronger. And that was because of the name of Jesus. Because of the name of Jesus. I love him so very much. And I just want to praise him tonight and thank him for everything he's done for me. And each day I'm getting a little stronger. And I have a therapist coming in who say that they're amazed at, you know, how strong I am getting because of how low and sick I was. And I know that that's that ointment flowing forth from the name of Jesus. Oh, such a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. And I really just wanted to thank and praise him for that tonight. But what a wonderful message that was that Dan had. Would that everyone in America could hear that. Mm. But you know, everyone won't hear it. And you do hear it, won't believe it. But isn't that, I know that that's the truth. And it's just so good that he could give that. You know, years ago when I was first saved, I was with a group of people that we felt we had to give out tracts everywhere we went about salvation, about being saved from hell. And for quite a number of years, we did that. We every place we went to other cities, we went to other countries, and we gave out tracts. And you know, one time I said, Lord, how many of these people are really reading these tracts? And the Lord gave me a real personal word that doesn't matter if they read them or not. If they take it and throw it away, it's glory to him at his judgment seat. He'll be able to tell them that was one more chance they had to learn about him that they threw away. Mm-hmm. And I never, ever forgot that. And so while we talk to maybe one or two or three people, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a witness for our God at the judgment seat that we're telling the truth. Praise his name. That's a thought just came to me. I just wanted to put that out. But I thank all you guys for sending me cards and praying for me and my sister Irma. You know, my sister Irma is my prayer partner. When we were teenagers and in our early 20s, we went to school together and ran around to dances together. And then in our early 20s, we both got saved. We've been in the Lord together ever since. And she's a faithful, faithful intercessory prayer warrior. And every time something else happens in my body, I'm on the phone, say I need prayer, and immediately she picks up an intercessory prayer for me. How wonderful to have a prayer partner like that. I just got to bring that in because I know that she's a faithful intercessory prayer partner. And I guess that's about all. But thanks for everything, everybody. And I'm on the road to recovery, and God's going to heal me and strengthen me more each day. And praise his holy name. Shalom.
That's wonderful, Ma. And we're all glad you're getting well. Okay, anybody else want to share anything? Well, let's give you a little update on our kitchen. We got our extension done. We're just waiting to get the floor. We got to add some tile. We couldn't find the same kind of tile to go from the old floor to the new floor. It's 10 years old. They don't make it anymore. So you got to have some more tile put in here next week sometime. But after we get that tile in, we're going to have our 12-foot table, and we'll be able to feed everybody at once that's here. So if anybody wants to come down and visit us sometime, you're welcome to come down, spend a few days, and you'll be able to eat at a table with everybody else, with a huge table with a lot of people. The boys were working hard on that, especially Cameron and James. Table like the Last Supper, Mom said. Yep, looks like that. Big, long thing. Okay. Anybody here have anything you want to share? No? Okay. Well, thanks for coming. Appreciate it. I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.